You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for joining me for another installment this week. Before we get started, as always, if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this on, and follow us on Instagram at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast. Okay, let's get the show started. I'm very excited to introduce my guest this week as US singer and songwriter Maggie Lindemann. Maggie joined me on the podcast just a month out from a near sold-out US tour. Check out maggielindemann.com for more details. And her debut tour of Australia in May with shows booked for Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney. Head to destroyalllines.com for tickets. Maggie released her debut album, Sucker Punch, late last year, which completes a shift from bubblegum pop singer to pop punk artist. Many will know Maggie shot to fame with a hit song, Pretty Girl, in 2016. But over the years, she's moved out of the pop scene and into pop punk. We spoke about that transition and how and why it happened, as well as her working with legends like Blink-182's Travis Barker, and even more new music that she hopes to release this year. It may also include Pretty Girl in some form. Keep listening to check out my full interview with Maggie Lindemann on The Plug Podcast. All right, welcoming to The Plug Podcast. For the very first time, I am rapt to be joined by Maggie Lindemann. Maggie, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How are you? How have things been on your side of the world?
Oh, so good. Life has been really good lately. Just got off like a couple day tour with Paris in the UK and have my tour coming up. So just excited and
How long have you been off the road? Because obviously you are in LA right now and you just wrapped up that UK tour. How long have you been home for?
Like maybe 2 weeks.
So you've had some downtime.
Yeah, I've been chilling.
Nice. So when are you back on the road? Obviously, you'll be in Australia in May. As far as the live show side of things go, what do you have between now and then?
So in March, my headlining tour starts, and I start just in the US. And that's on. I'm also really sorry if you can hear that beeping. My fire alarm decided to start going off.
I didn't hear it until you mentioned it.
Okay. Well, I'm really sorry. It's like been annoying me all day.
That's cool.
But yeah, so I have that starting in March.
Yeah.
And then I go to Australia and then I go to like Europe and all that fun stuff.
Well, what's really fucking annoying, that's why I asked the question. Obviously, I know the tour starts in March. I'm in New York. But basically, the whole run is sold out. What's that about? Yeah. I've only been here for a few months, but as soon as I saw the poster, I was like, oh, great. And then I saw, oh, it's immediately sold out in every city.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. It's like a really weird thing because for so long I was scared to go on my own tour just because I'd never done it before. And, you know, I've done like some festivals and I've opened for people, but I've never really done like my own shows. So, it's kind of just that fear of like, is anyone going to come? And so to have it, you know, completely sell out all over the place was just a really, just a really crazy thing to experience and just made me feel, gave me a little bit of validation, I guess, because I was just so scared for so long. So it's a really cool feeling for sure.
Well, obviously the debut album Sucker Punch came out in September. Belated congratulations.
Thank you.
Usually on the show, we'll talk to artists maybe a week or so before the album comes out. Obviously, it's been, 5 months since then, and you just mentioned you weren't sure what the reception would be for this tour. How has the response been on your end almost 6 months since it's released?
It's been really good. I think, I don't know, it's just been really crazy to see people's reactions and, reactions from fans, from people that have never heard of me, and also just from my peers, people, you know, reaching out and congratulating me and asking to work and stuff like that. It's just been really, again, like a really surreal experience because, you know, you work on something for so long and it's like takes up all your time. And then by the time it's ready to come out, you're kind of on to the next. And so I don't know, it just kind of like sucked me back into it. And I don't know, it's just like a really cool, it's just really cool.
We know the big thing about this album, I guess an extension of the Paranoia EP, is that this is going away from a lot of your early stuff, from the pop stuff, into more pop punk, rock, alt rock, whatever you want to call it, which is great for me because I'm a massive pop punk fan. Was there a moment for you when you decided, I need to get away from the early stuff, this is where I want to go? Was there a turning point? Was it just you growing up? And like most people, when you grow up, sometimes your music tastes change.
So I actually never really wanted to do the pop stuff. It was more just at the time, like 2016, 2015, pop, especially bubblegum pop, was a really, really big thing. That's kind of what everyone was doing. And I, when I very first started making music, my stuff was a little bit more like bedroom poppy. And then I tried to go a little bit more like alternative pop. And I really wanted to go into more like alternative pop, kind of like what Billie Eilish started doing. Mm-hmm. That was like kind of what I really wanted to do in the beginning. And then it was kind of like, no, that's not really a thing right now. Like, no one's doing that. We want, you know, you want to be famous. So let's, you know, do the thing that we know is going to work. And being 16, 17 in an industry you have nothing about, it's kind of like, I mean, sure, I guess, like, you guys are the professionals, you know what you're talking about. So I kind of just was, I guess, down to do that. And also just being really young, having not really any type of direction, I was just kind of like, whatever. But then throughout time, I realized that I wasn't happy. Like, even with the success of Pretty Girl, it was really amazing to see, but I wasn't happy with what I was doing. I wasn't happy going and performing because I didn't like even know what to do with my body on stage. Like, I don't know how to react to that kind of music. It's just not something that comes naturally to me. So I grew up listening to pop punk. My whole family's really into metal and pop punk and alternative music. It's all I listened to growing up. So I don't know. I kind of just was like, that's, I feel like, where my heart is. And I wanted to give it a chance. And even though when I first started doing it, it wasn't really like a thing yet, it was kind of cool to see it blossom. And now it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had Noah Kahan on the podcast a few weeks ago. Noah Kahan, obviously a big US songwriter, his latest album is very much folk. For most of his career, he's been writing pop music. Everyone knows the Hurt Somebody song with Julia Michaels. And we were talking and he kind of said the similar thing, like, I wrote a pop song, it did really well. Everyone around me said, this is what you do now. And he said it got to a point where he said, like, this, making this music is actually fucking depressing me. I need to go do what I want to do. Did you experience something similar? Like, was there a conversation where it's like, all right, it's time to make the next Pretty Girl? And you said, shut the fuck up, I want to do this instead.
It was, yeah, kind of. It was just like, so Pretty Girl, and then I did Obsessed after Pretty Girl. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the Obsessed music video, you see, like, I'm wearing all black. I have black, you know, eyeshadow on. And I was really trying to express myself in the only way I could at that time, which was through, like, my style and my fashion. And if you look at my Instagram at that time, it was very dark. And a lot of people would always talk about, like, there was just such a disconnect between my music and how I looked and, you know, my interests and stuff. So that really bothered me for a long time because people were noticing and there was really nothing I could do to change it. So yeah, eventually I was just like, you know, I'm really unhappy. I feel like realistically, I'm not going to go to a place where everyone wants me to be because there's this disconnect between the artist and the music. It's like, yeah, maybe people will like the music, but then they look me up and they're, a lot of these people that are like, oh, I love Pretty Girl, are going to look at me and be like, oh, she's kind of like different than I thought she was going to be. So I was like, yeah, I'm getting older. I want to do what I want to do. I have more experience now in music and I want to be happy with this dream I have. And I don't want it to become something that feels like work. Like, I want it to continue to be something that I enjoy doing. So it's like, yeah, I'm just going to try it. Just going to try pop punk.
Well, I mean, well done for doing it, because I imagine that is a scary conversation to have. Like, was there pushback, whether it be from your inner circle or even fans? Like, when you started wanting to explore more, even as something as simple as wearing fucking black eyeliner, were people like, what are you doing? We have a brand here. Don't tamper with it.
Yeah, at first, for sure. I think it was like, you know, you're a young, cute girl. You have like the perfect look to be this. But I was like, that's just not how I feel. So I started to slowly get into it. And there was a lot of pushback from just people on even Instagram, like being like, oh, she's going through a phase. Like she's going through it. Like she's depressed. Something's wrong with her. And it was funny because it's always like an emo phase. Like you, it's always when you, when you're emo or when
we never left.
Like, it's a phase. Like it's always, it, that's the phase, but it's really funny because if you scroll to like the bottom of my Instagram, you'll see that that's actually how I started out. I know I was posting about Andy Black and I was posting about Sitting with Sirens. And I was like in my like Tumblr era, cause I, that's like where I started was Tumblr. I, you know, that's the stuff I enjoyed. So when you go back, you can see that that's actually who I was. And then the pretty girl, like bubblegum pop pink thing was the phase. Like that's, that was my phase of trying to be like that person. So I did get a lot of pushback at first, just from people thinking that like I was a poser or whatever it was. But I think people started to realize that when I started putting out music that, oh, this seems way more genuine. This actually feels like her. So it took a little bit, but I think that people are starting to get it more.
Was there a particular moment when people did start to get it more? Because for me, when I'm kind of going through your catalog and we talk about pop punk, my favorite band of all time is Blink-182. You did a song with Travis motherfucking Barker.
Yeah.
How did that come together, number one? But number two, what was the reaction to that? Because as we all know, Travis is one of the most renowned drummers, not only of that genre, but, you know, the guy plays with almost everyone in any genre ever. How did that come together?
So I was in New York. I think it was New York. I was in New York for I was playing my set at the time for my label, and it was right when we had added Friends Go. I don't even think Friends Go was out yet. It was just when I was like performing it for my label. And I just finished performing and someone from my label was like, oh, come outside. I need to talk to you for a second. Walked outside and he was on the phone with Travis, gave me the phone, and Travis was just like, I love the song. I would be super down to do a remix of it, make it more pop punk. Cause at the time it was more like ska. The original, you know, it's like ska, it's more that vibe. So he was like, I would love to, you know, do the drums and whatever. And I was like, yeah, obviously I would absolutely love to do that. And my manager's like freaking out because he's a really big 182 fan. So we went back to LA shortly after that, went to the studio, and literally he like did the drums in one take, like literally one take. And we were kind of just like, all right, like that took 5 minutes. Like what now? So they were like, I guess, do you want to try again? And he did it again. And it was like perfect the second time too. And we're like, yep, I guess that's it. This is perfect.
Looking for a new sound in 2023? The new ATH TWX9 is Audio-Technica's flagship true wireless headphone. These fully customizable premium buds deliver incredible high fidelity audio with adaptive noise cancelling and dual microphones for professional call quality. So whether you're listening to your favorite tunes, podcasts, or just looking for some peace and quiet, step up your headphone game with the new ATH TWX9. Available now at JB Hi-Fi Australia and audiotechnica.com. On this Sucker Punch album as well, I mean, you mentioned Sleeping with Sirens, you got Kellan Quinn. And I think John Feldman, for people who don't know, is produced for Blink. He produces Avril Lavigne. He's the frontman of Goldfinger. Was that a similar conversation of someone just thought, oh, maybe it'll put you in touch with this person who can help the style you're going for?
I'm honestly not too sure how I got in touch with Feldman. I started working with him later on in the process. And like, I didn't work with him during, hold on, let me think. All my times are so mixed up since COVID. I literally don't know, like, what year was what. No, I didn't work with him for Paranoia. So I started working with him during Sucker Punch. So it was, like, way later on. And I don't know. I just, like, went in with him. And he's just, like, the nicest person ever. He's like really easy to work with, and I think that that's a really cool trait to have, especially when you're so, like, he is so established in this genre. He's worked with so many amazing people, even his band himself. Like, he's just, very talented, and you know, he has his credit. Like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't need me, but he's just really, he's just really an amazing person to work with. And I don't know, it was just really cool. And yeah, so hopefully I get to work with him on the next project too. He's awesome.
Yeah, because he's been on this podcast, and he's just a super friendly guy, and he's so passionate about what he does. Like, yeah, he can work with established acts like Blink or an Avril Lavigne, but he was talking about all these acts he's working with and wanting to work with. And it kind of feels like right now him and Travis are kind of like fathering this next generation of pop punk artists. And it's so good to see that you're a part of that. Like, is that what you want to, is that where you see your music going in the next few years? Like, being at the forefront of this new era of pop punk?
I mean, I would love to. Yeah. That would be, you know, very ideal. I think I wanted, I don't know. I want to always be a pop punk artist. I love this genre. I love the community. I love the fans. I love everything about it. I think it's just such a fun genre, live especially. It's just some, it's just really fun. I want to be able to, you know, do it and also experiment with like different sounds too, and kind of take pop punk into something that's like has different sounds, like electronic sounds and you know, all these different, I don't know, just a bunch of different things. But yeah, fuck yeah, I would love to be someone considered, I don't know, in pop punk at all. So,
well, we've seen in the last few years, right? Like Machine Gun Kelly with his last few albums has kind of gotten his own spin on pop punk. Black Bear did a song with Burt McCracken of The Used. Like, who would have seen that coming? Do you see these kind of artists coming in and putting their stamp on it as that new wave of music you're talking about when you want to experiment with, say, something like electro?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's cool. I think a lot of people are, you know, that are in this genre are experimenting with different things. And I don't know, some people are trying to go a little bit harder. Some people are trying to go into electronic. I know that like hyper pop is a really big genre too. I like to call it hyper punk, that a lot of people are doing, or it's still pop punk, but it's got like that, those hyper pop elements. So yeah, I think it's really cool to see people trying to, you know, do their own spins on it and keep it the traditional sound, but also adding new elements to it.
Yeah. And to think about where you are now, a couple of months removed from Sucker Punch, I forget where I saw you say this, but you were doing an interview and you said that you don't think that the artist you are now could make Pretty Girl, and the artist that made Pretty Girl couldn't make what you're doing now. Why are they so different, given the obvious fact that it is still you?
Well, first of all, when first did Pretty Girl, I think I was 16 or 17. I'm 25 almost now. So I think just in that way, like, I have a completely different outlook on life, and I've been through so many more experiences now than I did, than I had been through when I was that age. So I don't think just experience wise, I would be able to make the stuff I make now as that person. But also, I don't think I could make that because I don't have that same outlook on life either. I'm not experiencing those same things anymore. And I don't know, I just think like I'm a literally like a completely different person. But I don't know, I think when at that time, I was just also so inexperienced. I hadn't really made a lot of music at that point. I wasn't, you know, in sessions all the time, or you know, like diving into music, watching live videos. I wasn't like doing all the things I do now to try to like get a better understanding, going to live shows. Now I, you know, I'm watching everything. I'm watching the way people interact with the crowd. I'm watching like the live everything. I'm like just watching how things are pieced together. I used to go to live shows just to watch the singer. So I don't know. I think I'm just live a completely different life when it comes to music now.
Have you figured out how to navigate that weird space of helping some of your fans who have been with you since day one and still love the early stuff? Like, I know Demi Lovato's had a bit of a trip on that on her recent tour, where obviously that last album was very punky rock, and a lot of people were there were wanted to see her old pop stuff. Can you still deliver that, or are you very much like, I'm in this space now, can we just stay here and forget about that?
Yeah, I'll never
this is a bold statement.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I still have like respect and stuff for the stuff I did. And I believe I wouldn't be where I'm at without it. It did give me that opening into this, into the world of music that I probably wouldn't have had without it. So I'm still really appreciative and respectful of my old music, but I am a completely different person and I don't think I would be able to do that. But I have thought about, like, people are always like, what if you did like a spin on Pretty Girl and you made it like a rock song?
You could do
so
that.
So I have thought maybe like for something one day I'll bring Pretty Girl back in like a rock way. But I don't have plans to yet. So
I was going
to
say, you know, I can just clickbait that and say that it's definitely happening. And put that online. I'll just edit
this. And singing Pretty Girl again.
That's so cool though. Like, and again, you have the contacts to make it happen. Like, Jesus Christ, call Travis.
Yeah, I think it could be cool. I mean, Doja Cat made Say So a rock song when she did that one performance. That's like one of my favorite performances ever. I think that's like the coolest performance ever. So it's possible. It could happen. I just don't have plans to do it yet. I want to like save it for something, but.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first. She's doing it, everyone. She's absolutely doing it.
I'm doing it.
Well, obviously, I won't be able to see you in May when you're in Australia. I'm hoping to see you in March. I don't know how I'm going to get in. Maybe I'll just scalp outside. People still scalp tickets? I don't know. But is this your first time going to Australia?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Like, I'm at all? Excited. Not even in a professional sense?
Never been. I'm so excited. It used to be, like, growing up, it was the one place I always wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was younger, I was like, I want to be a surfer and I want to be a beach person because I used to love the beach so much. So I was always like, I want to go to Australia. So I'm really excited to go to Australia.
That's wild. Like, it's mid-May, I think you're going, right?
Yeah.
With all the touring you have with, you just finished UK, then the US, then Australia. Are you just planning to tour for the next little bit? Are you even thinking about writing new music?
Yeah, so I am writing new music right now. I want to put something else out this year. It probably won't be like a big full album project because I do give myself time to like have a life for a second, a personal life. But I do plan to put something out hopefully by the end of the year.
Is that already in the works? Like, are you talking to whether it be your team or producers, like, are we already recording or is this kind of just all in your head and an idea of when you want to get it out?
No, I've been writing. I have a couple songs so far that I think will probably be on it. But no, it's definitely in the works. Hopefully soon it'll be even more almost done, but yeah, it's in the works. Well,
for the sake of trying to have a personal life, like, when would you ideally like to get this out? Is this something like 2 years down the line? Do you want to get it out as quickly as possible? Because again, we're only a little over 5 months out since Sucker Punch.
Yeah. No, I would like to get this out by fall, by winter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Ever since I finished Sucker Punch, like last summer, I've been kind of living a little bit. So I'm trying to get back into the routine of actually like having a routine, because lately it's been just like living my life, which has been really fun because I haven't felt like done that in a really long time. But no, I would like to get something out by fall. So hopefully that happens.
That's very exciting. Maggie, thank you so much for coming on. It was so good to talk to you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, good luck in the US run. I will be the guy knocking on the door at the New York show in March. But enjoy Australia and we'll talk soon. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maggie.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.